Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. This is a very special program. I'm explaining about my near-death experiences. I had two of them when I was 18 years old, totally transformed my life. In my last program, I tried to talk about death, tried to help you to prepare for it, to be ready for it. We are all familiar with death. Some of you are grieving. In this program, I want to explain exactly what you can expect when you die. This is a program unlike any other program you've probably ever watched. I wrote a book called Death, the Final Surrender. And in this book, Death, the Final Surrender, I detail explicitly what you can expect. I'll share a few of those things now, but there's more information in this book. And I called it Death, the Final Surrender because when my dad died a number of years ago, the doctor later said, he passed in his sleep, by the way, the doctor came up to me later and said that there was no death struggle. And what that said to me is that my dad, when the Lord called him, he didn't fight it. He surrendered. And that's what your death can be. It can be a surrender to God. It doesn't have to be this terrible, awful thing. In fact, Paul the Apostle called it a departure. He said, I want to depart and be with the Lord. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So in other words, although death is the enemy in the Bible, it can be a moment of transition, a moment of change where you don't have to fight it. And as you surrender now to God and live a life of virtue, a life of quality, a life that helps people, a life of putting God first, that's surrendering. As you surrender now, you can surrender then. The life that you live now will determine the way that you die. And I want you to live a surrendered life so that when you die, you will surrender. So let's talk a little bit about death. There are reminders of death all around, not only graveyards or gravestones or going to funerals. You know, we're all familiar with that. Think, for example, if you're Catholic, about Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, we come forward, we receive ashes, and as you receive ashes in your forehead, it says, remember, man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So our church is telling us, remember that you're going to die and live well. Lent is all about living well. It's all about living with virtue, turning away from vice, reaching out to people. This is how you prepare for your death. And yes, you will die, and that's what the church is trying to remind us. I have a profession cross. When I profess my vows as a passionist, you see this beautiful crucifix. And I have this in my bedroom, and I reflect upon it. We meditate on the passion of Jesus. It's interesting, right on the bottom of this cross, right on the bottom of this crucifix, they have a skull and crossbones. Well, that's interesting. Usually you see those, you know, poison, you know, skull and crossbone, don't touch kind of a thing. Why in the world on a crucifix would they put this skull and crossbones? And oftentimes you'll see saints praying before a skull. You know, what's that all about? And what they're doing is, by putting this on the crucifix, they're reminding us, the church is reminding us, that we're going to die. That we need to reflect on that. Teach us to gain wisdom of heart, the psalm says, by reflecting upon our death. Teach us to number our days and gain wisdom of heart. So it's by reflecting on the fact that you're not going to live forever here on earth, that there is an end, whether it be 70, 80, or 90 years, or maybe less, that gives you wisdom of heart. I remember I visited St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican one time. And I mean, there's magnificent statues and Bernini's columns and all these different things. Over there, toward the front of the church on the left, I saw a horrifying figure of a skeleton holding an hourglass. It was a reminder of death. I looked it up online. He was over the gate of death. And it was telling everybody that can see in this holy place, this beautiful church, St. Peter's Basilica, where you think about God and the grandeur and everything. Here's this skeleton standing there with an hourglass, reminding us that time is running, time is fleeting, and you must come to grips with your own death. I talk about death not to be morbid. I talk about it because it's a reality. We in the church, you know, our culture, I think, denies death. They want you to be young and healthy. There's nothing wrong with that. But they deny death. But our church is not a death-denying church. It's a death-defying church. Did you get that? Our church is not a death-denying church. No, no, no. We embrace death. We talk about it. We confront it. We're a death-defying church. That's why Paul the Apostle said, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. And I read that passage from Romans 8, and it says that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Not even death can separate us from the love of God that comes through Christ Jesus. And you might be thinking, well, Father Cedric, how can you be so bold? How do you know? Nobody knows what's going to happen when we die. Well, yes, we do know. We have the evidence from the scriptures, of course, about the resurrection of Jesus. And how do you know there was a resurrection? He's poured his Holy Spirit upon us. If you know who the Holy Spirit is, you have eternal life living within you. I teach about the Holy Spirit all the time. This is the blessed assurance of God. I have booklets on my website. I have books that you can read about this. You can come to know God in a personal way, experience resurrection in your own life. I wrote a book called Rise that can help you with that. So yes, you can come to know the resurrection of Jesus even now, and that when you die, eternal life continues. And you might be thinking, well, okay, it's in the Bible and you're saying that you can experience. How else do you know? Well, I had some experiences that led to me becoming a Catholic priest when I was 18 years old. I never used to tell anybody about this. Then I came to realize God was inviting me to share these experiences with people. I wrote this book called Death, the Final Surrender. It's my best-selling book. Not just older people read this book. Younger people read it. What you can expect, this book isn't about grieving, although it might help you grieve. What you can expect when you die. That's right, when you die. I just grew up a normal young man in Massachusetts. I had no thoughts about death or other than what most people do. But God touched me one night. Actually, it was two nights, two different nights, about a month apart. And let me explain what happened to me. There was a book written by a doctor, Dr. Raymond Moody. And he's a doctor who works as a surgeon in a hospital. And he noticed that you've all heard about these incidences that some people on the table lost their vital signs and they literally died. They lost their life in their body for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then came back. And they came back with stories to tell. And he documents this in his book, Dr. Raymond Moody, Life After Life and The Light Beyond, two different books. This isn't New Age. This is a real doctor talking about these near-death experiences, he terms them. And they came back with stories to tell, and just about everybody had a common experience, classic elements of the near-death experience, sensation of leaving the body. Because remember, we're not just body, we're spirit. You have within you a spiritual side that animates your body. So there was the sensation of leaving your body, going through a tunnel, encountering God, encountering light. And then a life review, some type of a judgment. And then there was a coming back to the body, and then a changed life. These are the classic elements of a near-death experience. Again, sensation of leaving your body, going through a tunnel, being embraced by light, having a judgment, a life review, going back to your body, you're changed. And Dr. Moody said that just about everybody that he interviewed for this book went through those classic elements. Well, the interesting thing, and I talk about this in my book, Death, the Final Surrender, and I really want you to get this because I want you to understand what's going to happen, what you can expect. Don't just say, well, nobody knows what's going to happen after death. Yes, some people do. I never thought I'd be one, but I am. And as I said, this so dramatically changed my life, so dramatically impacted me, I had two near-death experiences, that I became a Catholic priest. My life totally turned around. Now, not only that, you know, I preach everywhere, but God has me on TV now, all around the world. I didn't understand it way back then when it happened, but I realized that God was giving me something that He wanted me to proclaim to the world, proclaim to everybody, that there is life after death, and you must be ready. You must be ready. Maybe you just tuned into this program and you're just looking for something. I want to tell you that God is calling you to a changed life, to be prepared to something more. God will help you to change. You must be ready for your death. Death, the final surrender. So here's what happened to me, really quickly. These near-death experiences that I just documented, first of all, that's exactly what happened to me, those common elements. I just went to bed one night. I talk about this again in the book in more detail. And I had this sensation of me leaving my body. This has never happened to me before. I don't know how to leave the body. I mean, I was being drawn by God to God. And then the reason why I put on the front of the book, I put this tunnel, if you can see, that's me there in the tunnel. And you can see the light behind. The reason why I put that on the front of my book is because that's the best way to describe it. I was drawn through a tunnel. And I had that sensation, and I didn't have control. I wasn't able to say, yes, I'm going to go, no, I'm not. It was like a magnet drawing me there, and I had no control over it. Next thing I know, I'm in the light. I didn't actually see the form of God, but you know, you've heard that adage, I saw the light, and that's exactly what happened to me. I saw, not only saw light, I was embraced by light. I was loved. I was known just as I am. God is clothed in light. And then really quickly, let me tell you about the glory. We've all heard about the glory of God. God is glorious. What does glory mean? Pleasure, electricity. I go like this because waves of glory flowing through my spirit, waves of glory flowing through my soul. I stood naked before God. And I realized something. Here comes the life review. When you stand before God, you know what the scripture says? Our secrets lay bare in the light of His face. Did you get that? Your secrets and mine lay bare in the light of His face. That is exactly why we need a Redeemer. Because our secrets aren't so good. Our secrets aren't so holy. Our sins go with us. And that is why Jesus suffered so horrifically to redeem us from our secrets and our sins, so that when we stand before the light of God, we can be what's called justified. What does justified mean? That means like God pours justice into you, virtue into you, the virtue of Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. His virtue comes into you. You become justified. And justified means just as if you've never sinned. It has a dual meaning. It's you're forgiven your sins and you're righteous in Christ. So there was a judgment. And as I stood before God, I realized that I wasn't right. I needed help. I needed a Savior. And then God spoke some words to me about His love for me and His protection of me. Then I had the sensation of going back. And right before I went back, this is what I said to God. I knew I was going back to my body. I knew God was giving me another chance because, you know, I wasn't the best teenager at that time in my life. I was just starting to read the scriptures. I was just starting to pray. I was looking for wisdom, praying for wisdom. And God gave me this. And this is what I said to God as I left. I said to God, I will be the best I can be. You know why I call this program Live with Passion? I want you to be the best you can be. I am fulfilling that promise to God. I became a Catholic priest. I reach out to people. I've written 18 books to date. I now produce for television and radio. I could have come back and just been lazy about it and said, oh, that was an amazing vision and No, I was given the fear of the Lord. And God has taught me some things about this near-death experience that I want to share with you. Death is not the end. Death is a new beginning. We will be judged, and you must be ready. And the way that you're ready is by living well now. What does it mean to live well? You acquire virtue. What are virtues? Patience, courage, mercy, love, reaching out to other people. It's vitally important. Please get this. It's the great affliction that people have nowadays is selfishness, narcissism, living for yourself, just being concerned about yourself. It is vitally important, and that's the way I used to be, and that's why God gave me another chance. It is vitally important that you care for other people. Somehow, some way, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. That you have compassion. That's virtue. That you care for people. That you're generous. That you love people. And this is something that the Holy Spirit changes us, has been working in me to do. I used to be so narcissistic, so selfish, part of this culture. But I'm becoming. You know that great saying that I love? Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. So become. There's still time. Life is called the great opportunity in the scriptures. It's magnificent and significant. A lot of people think, well, what's the meaning of life? There is meaning. And the meaning is you learn, you become virtuous, you develop a personal relationship with God, and you prepare for your death the best that you can. You become like Christ. You be sacrificial and giving and generous. So these are the things that God taught me. Life has meaning. There will be a judgment. Death isn't the end. And I always had this gnawing question deep within me as a teenager. And the question I had is maybe the question that some of you that are watching this program have. And the question that I had, the deep mysterious question is that I said, if I could just have an answer to this question, the one question that I have is there a God or not? That's the one question I want answered. If I could have that question answered, I thought I would then adjust. And that one question was answered. You see, as a young man, I was praying for wisdom. I was praying for understanding. And this is how God answered me. God answered me in a dramatic way, but I believe God is answering you through me. God doesn't always do this for everybody, but what he does is he puts you in touch with people that have had these experiences so that you can learn. And the answer to the question is, yes, there is a God. And it's the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, who reveals himself as the one true God, the God of Jesus Christ, the God of Paul the Apostle, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Adam and Eve. It's all there. It's all truthful. And because there is a God and he is glorious, he's eternal, and he's unconditionally loving. And because there is a God, I had to change my life. Doesn't mean that you have to become a priest. You don't have to become a monk. I was called. It's kind of like Isaiah, if you've ever had that, if you've ever seen or read in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah is caught up into glory. He's in the temple and he has this vision of God. And he hears the angels praying and worshiping and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah says, "Woe is me. I live in the midst of an unclean people and I have unclean lips. And I've seen the Lord of hosts." And that's exactly how I felt. I said, whoa. And the fear of the Lord was given to me. And understanding was given to me. And I changed. So what I mean is you don't have to become a Catholic priest, but you must prepare. Remember, the books will be opened and everything that you've said, everything that you've done, your history, your deeds, will go with you when you die. Remember, you can't take it with you when you die. You can't take your clothes, your jewelry, your money, your cars, and all that. But trust me, you will take what's written in those books. And as Paul the Apostle says, knowing the fear of the Lord, every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God and will have to account for his life in the deeds done in their body. I don't mean to scare you. I'm not preaching hellfire and brimstone. I'm preaching what God has given me, and I'm preaching the truth. And that's why, do you see, I created this program, Live with Passion, because passion doesn't just mean energy. It is energy, but it's energy to love. It's energy to be generous. It's energy to forgive. It's energy to make a difference in other people's life. That is the meaning of life. And as you do that, of course, you get joy, you get happiness. I think the thing that brings me the greatest happiness in life is ministering, preaching, writing, producing for TV. I can't tell you how fulfilled I am, because remember what I said to God when I was leaving. This is my Father, our Creator, the God of the universe. And yes, we can communicate directly to him with prayer. But when I was standing in his presence, as I understood I was about to go back to my body, I said, I will be the best. I will be the best. And I am living that promise to God. I am living what I said to God. I'm not perfect, but I'm living with passion. And I want you to live with passion. I pray for you. Those of you who are my partners, my benefactors, those of you who have been supporting me, I am praying that your life will be passionate, that you will overcome your difficulties. Remember, this whole series is about we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. You see, you're not just doing it on your own. It's the love of God. It's the love of God that helps us. It's that power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within you. So let's all wrap this up. Some of you are grieving. Some of you are going through a hard time because you've lost somebody that you love. And I understand. I lost my dad. I meet people all the time who are hurting, who are going through things. As I said, there's nothing worse than losing a child to death. And I'm going to pray for you. Others of you just tuned into the program. You're not quite sure where you're going, what's going to happen when we die. And then others of you are believers. You're my supporters, my benefactors. You've been helping me all these years to preach the gospel everywhere. Whatever state you're in, you've heard the truth. God is there. He loves you, and he's calling you to be ready. He's calling you to be prepared, and he's calling you to live with passion. Father, I pray for all the people who are watching right now, whatever state that they're in, that you will touch them, you will assure them of your love, and you will help them to be prepared to meet you on that day, to be embraced by your light, not rejected, not cast out, but embraced. And I pray for all those who are grieving, who have lost a loved one, who are really hurting, that they'll grieve well. They won't stay stuck, but they'll move through the different stages of grief. They'll come to acceptance, and that your love will embrace them. And for all of us, that we will be the best that we can be. We won't settle for mediocrity and lukewarmness, but we'll take the energy and the life, this opportunity, this magnificent, significant gift that you've given us, and we will bear fruit that will last. So that on that day of our departure, when we come before you, we will be ready, and you will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for listening, for allowing me to share these life-changing events that happened in my life. Be the best. Be the best. And don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live with passion.